Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and again, we're just so grateful for the many things that you do, for the all that you provide, Lord. You give us moisture from the sky. You give us life that comes from the earth. You plant this. We plant the seeds, and Lord, you make them grow. And it's just amazing to see all that you are going to do as we look forward to spring coming up. And Lord, you've blessed us with an abundance of moisture already. And Lord, I just thank you for all that you do. I pray for the service. I pray that you guide us in all that we do through fellowship, through message, and through song. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, last week, I wanted to get through the passage that I had planned, but God's got other plans, as he lets me know from time to time. I wanted to look at Galatians 5, 2 through 6, and we got four verses done that day. And we looked at how sin, how relying on your own works for salvation, on how that severs one from Christ, how we drift away when we try to justify ourselves by our own works, on how we think that we need to be doing something to earn God's favor or to be or to know that Jesus saves, but yes, in order to seal that salvation, we have to do something. And Paul has been fighting against that. And so what I was going to do this week is, up until Friday afternoon, I know, I was just going to glance. I says, you know, I briefly read these two verses, verses 5 and 6, and you know what? It's got some good stuff in there, but let's move on. And as we have been thinking about it, been going through the book of Galatians, and it's been a tough book. It's a tough book because of all the emotion that Paul is showing on how he is beating these people up over what they were following, over the false teachings. He's just given them open up a can of Jackie Chan on these guys through letter. And I got to thinking, you know what? We've been talking a lot about that lately. And I'm so glad that he had these two verses in here. I'm so glad that I decided to go over these and rewrite what I had and restudy it. As a reminder of those who have faith in Jesus Christ, the work that he has done, that's what we're going to look at today. Some of the work that the Spirit does. So we're going to look at Galatians 5, and I'm going to read in the context 2 through 6 again. And it says, look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be no advantage to you. I testify to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who are justified would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit of by faith, we ourselves eagerly await the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. So we can see in the beginning of that, he's like, you, if you accept, you sever yourself from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you. So you know he's talking to them. We looked at that last week, talking to them. And now we're going to look at verse 5 and 6 today. I'm going to reread that. It says, for through the Spirit by faith, we ourselves eagerly await for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Now he's no longer talking at them. Now he's including those people that are with him, those who are believers in Jesus Christ. The things that God has done for them. Now he goes on. He's not saying that it's through the works of the flesh that one is saved, as he was battling previously, but rather by the Spirit, who is obtained through faith that one is saved. See, the Spirit of God works through the believer and makes them righteous. When one is saved, at the moment of salvation, they get the promised Holy Spirit from God. And we see that in John 14, verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. So what we got here is he saying, not right now, but in a little bit, God the Father is going to send the Holy Spirit to those who believe. And which is the great thing about the Holy Spirit and about his new work. Because right now, we are under the church age. We're under the age of grace. Prior to Acts chapter 2, prior to that, the Holy Spirit worked differently. He would come and go and indwell people and work through them and then leave. Now it's in the new covenant, we see how the Holy Spirit indwells the believer and stays there now. The promised one. So God sends the Spirit and then he indwells the believer. 6:19-20. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 tells us, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. You see, the Holy Spirit indwells the body. Our bodies are called a temple. My body is the temple for him, and it's got a parking lot as well. Some have a little bit more room than others. Yeah. Moving on. So the Spirit will stay in the temple. And he indwells the believer, and once he is there, he will not leave. He will not leave us. This is called the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we talk about the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit, we are saying that he indwells the believer and secures the believer for salvation at the moment of conversion. And we can see that when we go to Ephesians 1:13 says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And we go a couple chapters over to Ephesians 4, verse 30. And it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then I got another reference to that in 2 Corinthians 1:22. 2 Corinthians 1:22. It says, and he who has put his seal on us, given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Now, when we talk about the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit, what he is trying to tell us is that the seal is a picture of a letter being sealed by a wax seal and can only be opened by God. See, we are being mailed to God, in a sense, and we have the seal of God on us to where only he can open that. We are sealed with the Spirit, and only God gets to open that as we look forward to seeing him in the future. See, this is the Spirit that God sends his children. Those who trust in his Son for salvation, he indwells us, and he seals us. Is that all the Spirit does? Oh, no. Oh, no. The Holy Spirit is always working in the believer's life. Always working. One thing that he does is he illuminates. It doesn't mean he makes us brighter in all areas, but he illuminates. When he performs the work of illumination, we are talking about what he does when one reads the Scriptures. See, the Holy Spirit brings light to the Scriptures. He opens up the heart and the mind and the eyes of the believer. And what they do is when he does that, we understand Scripture more clearly. When we reread the Bible, you know, we can read the Bible cover to cover. And then when we read it again, we'll always find something new. And when we read it again, we'll always find something new, it seems like it. Even when I go through a book, I'm always finding new stuff. I'll read through the book and reread it, and then every time I'm... Like this week, he opened up my eyes to this passage. He's like, you're not going to go past this. You're not going to go past this. It's such an amazing small piece of Scripture. And he helps us understand it more clearly. 1 Corinthians 2:9 through 10 tells us, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. So as the believer reads God's word, the Spirit reveals truth to them, and again, it helps us understand what God is trying to teach us. Can the non-believer read the Scriptures? Yes. Yeah, they will. And they'll make comments about it. But they don't truly understand it until the Spirit illuminates them and lets God speak to them. And the Spirit also gives the believer gifts. And these gifts are to be used for bringing glory and honor to God. See, we each have a gift to use, or gifts. We can pluralize that as well. And it's used to edify the church, and what it's also used for is to advance the gospel of Jesus. Now, it is the job of the believer to figure out what gift you have. What gift you have. And lately, there has been a whole bunch of tests you can take. You can take them online. You can take a written one to find out what your spiritual gift is. They didn't have this way back. You couldn't go on Google and search spiritual gift test. You had to search it on Yahoo. No. They didn't have it back then. They're a man-made test. And people put too much faith in those tests. Are they bad? No, I'm not going to say they're bad. You see, what the thing you're supposed to do, you're supposed to figure out what your gift is. How do you figure out what your gift is without taking one of those tests? Let God speak to you. In my own personal life, God revealed to me what my gifts was when I was in an in-depth Bible study class. We had an Old Testament survey I went through, and halfway through that 12-week course, something just clicked in my mind. I was like, as I was watching the associate pastor teach, I was like, I want to do what he's doing. I want to do what he's doing. So after prayer about that and talking to a number of people, how do I teach the Bible? What do I need to do to teach? And I pursued that, and I found great joy in it. That led me to Sunday school teacher. That led me to working with junior high and high schoolers. That led me working with a whole bunch of people just by searching that out. And I knew that I had the gift of proclaiming God's truth, of preaching, of the pastoral ministry. And also when I was in ministry, my other gift, and I knew this, was service. I love to do things. I love to do things. As I worked for another church, we had a number of funerals. It seems we couldn't go a month without a funeral. Sometimes we'd have three of them back to back. And one of our jobs as the staff was to set up tables and chairs, setting up 20 tables and 8 chairs per table and putting them in the gym and then taking them down. And I loved it. I found joy in that. And I worked with another guy. He didn't like service. He did not like it. I remember it. We never let him live this one down. We had a funeral. And then we were starting to clean up. And he went to go talking with somebody. And he took the opportunity to counsel with him for an hour while we got to clean up tables and chairs. We never let him live it out. He came, he says, you know, service is not my gift. I don't find joy in it. I do it because I have to. And I knew, so after that, so into ministry, they convinced me to take this test online, a spiritual gifts test. And yes, it did reaffirm that I had the gift of proclamation. It was a pastor shepherd gift, which is a heart for the church, to where I don't even know how to describe them. You got a deep heart for the church. You want to see them grow. You want to see them grow more in their faith. And of course, service was really high. And the one that really got to me that I didn't know was administration. That was really high on there. And I'd never thought of that. But that's what the test told me from there. And I just took that at face value. Oh, okay. I guess. So it reaffirmed what I already knew. See, when we figure out our spiritual gifts, it's something we're going to try to do. And if we find great joy in what we do, do you think that's the way God made you? Is that your gift? If you find great joy in different areas of serving, and that's how you figure it out, is you pray to God, you talk to Him, you read the Scriptures, and then you go out and do it. Go out and do it. Do ministry. Talk to people. So the believer doesn't need a man-made test. They do help. They do help. But we need to be sensitive to the calling of God. And we will receive it. We will receive it. The Spirit will equip you. And again, you will find great joy in your gift. And guess what? You get a lifetime of trying to perfect it. For those that like to serve, you get a lifetime of service. For those who like to preach, you get a lifetime of preaching for the most part. For those who like to give, they'll have a lifetime of giving. You'll get to perfect that gift. The Spirit also empowers the believer to do the work that Christ has before them and will guide them. Galatians 5:16. I'm administration, yes. Yes. That's the wrong reference. Let's see if my other one was right. I'm so glad He forgives too. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Led by the Spirit. There we go. I got one right out of two. There we go. 50%. Not too bad. He also gives evidence that one is a true believer by the fruit of the Spirit. The indwelling Spirit is grieved when the believer sins, Ephesians 4:30. And He convicts the believer to confess his sin to the Lord so that fellowship will be restored. See, we can grieve the Spirit who dwells within us. We can go against His teachings. We can go against His guidance. We can go against Him. What happens when we do that? We become less sensitive to it. He then begins to speak softer and softer. And sometimes He won't even speak at all. See, the thing about God is He'll give you a leash. He'll give you a leash to run. We may let go of God, but guess what? He still has us. He still has us. We'll let go, but He still has us. And then He convicts the believer to confess. When we're in sin, and we're going against God, He puts this burden on our heart to ask for forgiveness, to confess those to God. And when we do that, what does that do in a relationship? Makes it stronger. When you confess to the Lord that you have sinned against Him, it makes that relationship stronger. You develop a deeper, intimate relationship with Him, trusting on Him. And what happens when He forgives us of our sins? He casts them away. He casts them out of His sight. Fellowship is restored. Now, the Spirit does all of this and more. We must remember that He is a person. He is a person. The nature of the Holy Spirit is distinct from the Father and the Son. Now, some have described the Holy Spirit as a force or an essence of God. This description of the Holy Spirit, of course, is flawed, in that the Spirit is not a separate piece of God the Father, rather a distinct and unique person within the Godhead. And Jesus, of course, makes a distinction between the three persons of the Godhead, but keeping them on the same level or hierarchy. We must never settle, they're all equal. They're all equal. See, he works in unity with the triune God to accomplish a common goal. See, the things that the work of the Holy Spirit, what he does in our hearts and our lives, what he is going to do is he is not going to direct focus on him. Where does he direct focus to? Christ. Christ. He helps us focus on Christ, draw closer to him, to the one who saves. That is something that he does. Now, the Holy Spirit works in man. And, of course, we're all a work in progress. How many of you are perfect in here? That's what I thought. We should be growing more and more in Christ through reading his word and being in constant communication with him, fully knowing that the Holy Spirit is guiding each one of us. Then, one day, we will be giving perfected righteousness because of the work of Jesus. Not what we do in the flesh, but because of Jesus' work in the flesh while he was here. Paul told the people that, of course, circumcision doesn't matter one bit. What matters is faith working through love. People can be so prideful for the things that they do and don't do in the flesh, that they think they can earn more favor with God. However, it earns them nothing. Earns them nothing. We must also recall Scripture says circumcision counts for nothing. Now, this has nothing to do with future righteousness because all are the same in Jesus. Circumcision was a way that the Jews could relate with the Jews. That is why Paul had Timothy circumcised so he can be a Jew. He can be a fulfilled Jew, do the work of the Jews because his mother was a Jew, so he identified as a Jew because of that lineage right there, and he can go into the temple and not worried about being killed. And then we have Titus, a Greek, was not circumcised. See, Titus was used differently than Timothy. He was used for the Gentiles, for the Greeks. Timothy was used for the Jews, so he had to become more Jewish so he can reach the Jews. Titus had to stay Greek so he can reach the Greeks. Paul became what he had to become for the gospel of Jesus Christ without losing who he was in Jesus Christ. Is what he had to do. He did what he had to do without violating Scripture to reach the people for Christ. He loved the people and told them about Christ and how one is saved through faith in him. Faith is different from works. Faith takes the focus off oneself and puts focus on Christ for righteousness. Faith is living, active, and powerful. One's faith will be working through love. Love is the result of faith. Paul repeats himself in Galatians 5:22, where he says that the fruit of the Spirit is love. And those who trust in Christ as a personal Savior will show faith in love. It's about the things that Christ does. And the Holy Spirit leads one towards Christ. So I'm so glad that these two verses are right here. He gave us a break from the law and the things in the law and what it consisted of. He shows us what he does. He gave us the Spirit. And we have the assured hope of his promise of salvation. And with that, future righteousness as well. The Spirit that was promised separates the believer from those in the world. He impacts our lives. He changes us. He guides us and helps us understand the Word of God more clearly. He equips us with gifts so we can do the work of ministry. So we can bring honor and glory to God. See, we need to be using our gifts. God has equipped us, guys. God has equipped us with uniqueness. Some of us have one gift, some of us have a number of gifts, but we have to use them. We have to use them. We have to know them. We use these to advance the gospel. Our focus needs to be adjusted to seeing Christ more clearly. We don't rely on our own power, but we rely on the power of God to do great and wonderful things. He is the one who does it. He is the one who saves. If anyone could be saved by keeping the law, Christ is useless. If mankind could become the basis of his salvation, then we would praise ourselves and our good works for salvation. But if salvation is through the work of Christ, he alone should receive all the praise and honor for his works. Now, Paul rejects the idea that human works because they discredit the importance and significance of Christ. They make the work of Christ as such a secret code that no one can understand. They strip him of all his glory and human idolatry, then take control rather than bring glory to Christ. Now, today's message was for those who have their trust in Christ. We get those benefits from it. We get the Holy Spirit. We get the gifts. We get the work to do. We get the persecution that comes along with it. Amen. Jesus made a promise, and the promise of the Holy Spirit, the Helper. When we allow him, he will guide us in all areas of life. We need to be sensitive to his calling, sensitive to his teaching. All that he does leads us closer to Christ so we can be better servants of the gospel of Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. We just thank you so much. We see all the wonderful, wonderful things that you do. They are beyond measure. The things that you have promised, your promises you keep. Even though, Lord, we sin against you, we rebel against you, we don't listen to you, we willfully sin against you, and yet, Lord, you still keep your promise. You sealed us with the Holy Spirit. And you guide us, and you don't give up on us. We let go of you, but yet you're still hanging on to us. Lord, we thank you for what you did. We thank you so much for the gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. And you made it so easy that he is the only one that can save. For all who believe in him shall be saved. Faith like a child. And it's all through your work, not what we can do. Nothing we can do earns your favor, earns our salvation. It is only when we submit to you and your saving faith, your saving grace. And Lord, we thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Galatians 6:18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen.